Hi.
Hi.
Long time no see.
Yeah. How you doing?
I'm good.
And we're on a schedule here, girl. Let's
Yes, yeah.
try to
So let's, I guess
Do
we can like
this.
record and then
Yeah,
like
let's go
record.
for it.
And then and then I guess we'll see timing and stuff, and maybe we can catch up a little bit more tonight. But
Yeah, we can also
I think
catch
this will
up as we
work.
go,
It's
for
gonna be
sure.
fun.
Okay, I haven't seen this episode
Yeah, it's been
for a
like I
few
think a
days.
I think it's been like a week since I last watched it, but that's okay.
Okay,
I read through
let's.
my notes and I looked up. I was curious because of our. Okay, let's. I guess we'll talk. Well, we'll
Let's
say
just
hi.
let's say hi. Let's welcome
Yeah.
everybody to this week's episode of Squintcast. My name is Kelly.
I'm Brittany.
And today we are going to talk about an episode of Bones from season four. It's episode, technically episode two, and it's called
Yes. Man in the outhouse. The man in the outhouse.
Brittany, you're distracted by something. What's happening?
I'm not. I'm just pulling up the director information.
Also, your room is so bright. It's so nice during the day. I feel like we should do this more often.
We should, for sure. This is for then at night when both of us are like half asleep.
It's daytime. Yeah, don't say that too quickly because, guys, guess what? We're gonna be recording later on tonight another episode because you're just begging for it. I know you can't live without it. Anyway, all right. So we're fine. You're fine. We've had a good weekend. Wayne is healthy. Mark's okay being a parent for a few hours. That's great.
Yes.
Now, we're gonna get going and talk about this interesting episode.
Well, you said that this
Yes.
was season four episode. It's technically the second airing of an episode in season four because
Four.
part one and two aired on the same day. So episode one and two aired on the same day. So this third episode is really the second episode in season four. But season three had a writer strike. So this episode was actually
Oh.
supposed to be season three, episode 16, which
What?
was. Yes. So this episode was supposed to be the episode immediately after the Gormagon episode.
The finale with Zach, all that stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, that would make sense about the whole intern thing.
The intern thing also, generally you had mentioned what well, we're going to talk about it, but you had mentioned Hodgins and Angela and their dynamic. Doesn't really make sense based on what happened in the first two episodes. So that's part of it. That actually was supposed to air as episode 19. So these next two episodes were meant to be back to back. So episode three is was meant to be episode 16 in season three. And episode 17 was meant to be, sorry, episode four is meant to be episode 17.
Oh,
So actually they
but
did some rewriting.
what about the breakup though? Like, this is what's crazy to me. The
The
breakup is
breakup was
weird.
supposed to be episode 19, but then they accelerated everything. So they
I'm
had the
very
breakup in the first episode instead. Anyway, so they had to rework some stuff and definitely had to go back and record some additional scenes, especially in the next episode that we're going to talk about. But
Okay.
that is why in this episode we had this massive breakup. Last episode we talked. Massive, awkward, weird. Are they
Whatever.
actually broken up episode? Anyway, and we
No acknowledgement.
Have no
I'm just going to say,
a
spoiler alert, no acknowledgement of the breakup at all. So I was very confused by that when I watched it, because I didn't realize that this was like a thing where they what meant to put it last season, blah, blah, blah. And that makes sense because, yeah, they weren't broken up yet. But yeah, it just doesn't seem to be. But then you're saying the next episode was also a pre-breakup episode?
Yes, but that one, they definitely were broken up. So I think that's what I'm saying. I think they definitely would have had to go back and they would have had to re-record. Yeah, reshoot some of that episode.
All right, I look forward to this because a little inside baseball here. We're going to go behind the fourth wall and I'll just tell you. I haven't written my notes for the next episode yet. My plan is to do that when we're done here. I'm going to do it. So it'll be really fresh in my mind and I will definitely take note of that. I'm assuming
I just finished mine last night.
Oh, you're good. You're good. I just wasn't home. I'm assuming everyone listening has seen all these episodes except for me. So, and speaking of which, let's talk about the director writer. And then I have one more thing to say before we really, really begin.
So the director is Stephen DePaul. He directed The Truth and the Lie in season 2, The Secret in the Soil in season 3. And he goes on to direct 6 episodes, including this one in season 4, and then he's done with directing. Bones.
Okay.
Like every other director, he has directed all the usual suspects, CSI New York, Person of Interest, Hawaii 5-0, like NCIS. Yes. So lots of the typical police procedural, nothing surprising there.
Right.
Our writer is someone named Carla Kettner. And she is...
Where have I heard that name before?
Well, she's one of the executive producers on the show as well.
Okay.
So probably you've just heard it from the show itself. But she wrote 13 episodes. But this is the first episode that she wrote in this series.
Wow.
So she goes on to do 5 episodes in season 4, including this one. 3 in season 5. 3 in season 6 and 2 in season 7.
All right. Well, let's make note of that. If this is her first writing gig with Bones, we may see some, like a through line. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
there might be some similarities.
Yeah. So
I'm going to apologize now for my sniffles. I apologize. My allergies are awful today. So,
I think because it's been so unseasonably warm,
it's crazy.
Allergies are horrible this year.
So bad.
She was an executive producer on The Blacklist as well.
Your favorite show.
Which I loved until I got sick of it and then I stopped watching it. But
with sexy but I did like James Spader. Remember the James Spader?
James Spader.
I introduced you to young James Spader and you
could. And I was very confused because he's exceptionally attractive.
Shocking.
Cool. I'm just making sure that Mark is not texting me. Shall we talk about this episode?
Yes, let's do that. But I'm just going to say right now, is I'm going to start my campaign right now on this day in 2024, St. Patrick's Day, March 17th. I'm starting my campaign to get David Boreanaz on this show talking to us and our lowly little podcast, because you know what? He's unemployed right now. He has nothing else to do. He possibly isn't married. What's he doing with his time? Like, seriously. Let's go, David.
He's
we need
promoting
to talk
his
to you.
Son's album.
Yeah, but he's also like finishing up SEAL teams and like finishing all that up. So he's gonna have some time on his hands. Maybe he'll get on a podcast or two.
Did that show get canceled or are they going out on their own terms?
I have no idea.
Me neither. I wonder what he'll do next. Our podcast, perhaps.
He'll come on our podcast and it'll blow us out of the water and we'll have to like deal with all of our incredible fame afterwards. But regardless, I would love to get David Boreanaz on our show before he goes on Emily's show that eventually will start with what's her face, Carla.
True. True.
I have burning questions for him, like about his Slovenian heritage. I have questions about, like, you wanted to know about his belt buckle collection. I have other questions, like, what's happening in your life? Like, what's going on Instagram? Why'd you delete everything? That kind of stuff.
Lots of questions. This is an important episode, which I just had an epiphany. You and I, so we are aware of this podcast that's supposed to be coming out called Boneheads with Emily
Yes.
Deschanel and Carla Gallo, who we meet for the first time in this episode,
Of
who I love so much.
course,
Her
you adore
character's
all the
awesome.
weirdos. You adore all the weirdos.
The quirky
Truly.
people.
I'll have those
Okay.
girls on. Let's go, Emily. Come on, Carla. Come on in here. You have some explaining to do.
It's weird, I guess. It's kind of odd that they haven't
Yeah, and we had
started
a
up.
some one of our listeners reached out asking if we knew anything about. I love how they think that we're so connected. Thank you. So, one who shall remain anonymous. I just yeah, I don't know what's happening with that podcast. Everyone's up in arms trying to find it and figure out what's going on with the production. Maybe one of them got some work. I don't know. It's one of those things.
Oh, maybe like something came up where they're not able to make the time to do it.
Oh, it's a commitment, as you know. This podcast, what we do, is a huge commitment, and sometimes we're not so great at maintaining the
It's fine.
commitment. Hence the double record. Okay, let's start us off.
Yeah.
What are we doing here? Go.
Okay. So we open to a scene of a nice looking trucker, nice old man. He's driving along and he's being reamed out by his, I'm assuming, girlfriend, that
His
she
ball and
is
chain,
accusing him of cheating on her
his
because he
damn
was
wife. How dare
his
she?
damn wife wanted to know that he was alive and well and wanted to know when he
No.
was going to be home. And he's like, I don't know, maybe in a couple days. Like, I'm sorry, you're on a trucking route. Like, don't you know your exact schedule? But maybe not.
Not him. I mean, why
Anyway.
is she bothering him? This is like a woman who gets mad at her police officer husband because he has to leave in the middle of the night to go to a crime
A
scene. Like,
crime
why are you
scene.
complaining? Like, this is your life.
So this guy is having a bad day because he's getting reamed out by this girl, and also he really has to pee like so badly. So he finds this, he's like on some weird country road. It's very random that he would be there, but anyway, so he happens to come upon this outhouse that's sitting in the middle of nowhere, and he pulls over and he tries to light a cigarette as he's going into this outhouse because he didn't have to pee that badly. He needed to light that up before he went pee. And then he it won't light, it just kind of sparks. Then he gives up and he runs into the outhouse and goes to pull his pants down. And you just see the outhouse. The view is just us seeing the outhouse. And inevitably, you know, because he can't get this thing to work, that there's going to be an explosion. And sure enough, he explodes out of this outhouse with his butt and pants on fire. And he's
Oh my
trying to roll
God.
around to put it out.
Obviously, yeah,
It's
it's
quite a
quite
scene.
comical. It's quite
Yeah.
comical. And the way he screams, he's like, oh, but I have a question for you, Brittany. Given
Yes.
your rather privileged background, have you ever used an outhouse?
Yeah. I've been camping
Really?
many, many times.
And can I ask you something about that outhouse? Was
Okay.
it on a flat piece of graded kind of ground
I don't
that
think
was
so.
perfectly like leveled and
No.
randomly sitting in a parking lot?
No, it was not.
There's going to be something that comes up later with this whole outhouse situation that I have questions about
Oh, yeah, I have
because
a lot of
I've
questions.
never gone in an outhouse that was on even perfectly like graded ground,
It's
just
always kind of like in the
flat.
middle of no, like,
It's on a
it's kind of
hill.
like,
It's in the
yes,
woods. And there's
wherever they could
no.
build it.
Exactly. It's not on a
Yeah.
flat piece of like just in a parking lot. Anyway, go on.
Is very random. But Yeah, this episode is the gift that keeps on giving because it's hilarious.
Well, the next scene adds to the hilarity.
Bow chicka wow. Do you want to
Oh,
talk about Mark?
all right. So, mock. Anyway, so next scene, Booth is banging on Brennan's door. And apparently, we find out it's very early in the morning. She answers the door all disheveled. Her hair's all messed up. She has on her house coat. And she's like, "What the hell, man? It's like 6:30 in the morning. What are you doing here?" And Booth barges in her house. He's like, "Well, we got to go. We got a crime scene to get to." And then lo and behold, this really hunky, tattooed, muscly guy pops out of her bedroom wrapped in a towel. And he's showing off his little, what do they call him? It's really crude. It's like a cum gutter or something they're called, like really
Yeah, I know
disgusting.
what you
They're
mean, like the
it's the V,
his
the classic,
V,
the V. So his V is showing
the
off. He's
V
got the
muscle.
towel on. He's very cute, kind of swarthy face. Booth is so, he's like, whoa, like so shocked there's a guy there. And I just want to say, I would murder anyone who banged on my
Oh
door
yeah.
at 6:30 in the morning. And like, I would murder him. I'd be like, I would murder him. I would murder him. Anyway.
He didn't even bother, like, he didn't even, did he call? Did he try
He
to call
didn't call
before?
ahead. And she said that. She's like, "You could have called, you motherfucker." And then Booth, this is a classic tale. I'm just gonna warn you, spoiler alert ahead, okay? First, this guy's name is Mark. He's a guy that Brennan bangs sometimes. And Booth is cock blocking left, right, and center in this episode. Every chance he gets, he's a cock blocker. And it's amazing. It's
I thought that he would
amazing.
be more like, I thought he'd be kind of showing like a little bit of jealousy because of their
He's a
dynamic.
little. Well, my problem with this other episode is not just the cock blocking, it's the slut shaming. Like, he's trying to
Oh,
make
it's so bad.
Brennan feel bad because she has some hot guy in her apartment. I'm like, are you
Yeah.
kidding me? Are you
No.
kidding me?
I really thought the dynamic would be though, because he's like so obsessed with her lately, in my opinion, that he would be like hurt or like upset, but he's just more like, oh,
Yeah.
cool.
He's razzing her so hard.
Oh,
And
yeah.
it's like, anyway, it's quite
And
funny.
razzing Mark too. He says
Oh,
to him,
so
like
much.
right at the end of this, right at the end of this scene, he's like, you are getting a little chilly there, Mark.
Yeah, like put some fucking clothes on, bud. Anyway, it's really, really funny. Anyway, what happens next?
Oh my God. Okay. Then we have a conversation between Booth and Brennan, obviously. If I were
Yeah.
Brennan, I would have been like, get the fuck out. I will
You
meet you
see
at the
what?
crime
Nobody
scene
can see this video unless you're watching
with
on
my
YouTube.
car.
I've got two middle fingers up at
There are
Booth right
two.
now. Who are you?
Rightfully so.
Who
But
are you?
Brennan doesn't like to drive herself, so I guess he has to drive her rather than her just
Yeah,
meeting him
again.
there.
Where's Brennan's car?
Where's her car?
We need
What is going on?
a button in the shape of Brennan's car that says, "Where's Brennan's
Also,
car?"
is this a where's Brennan's car? She could have driven herself.
Oh my God.
Is this a different apartment?
I didn't notice that. Why did it look different?
It looked different to me, but I don't know. Maybe we just haven't seen her place in a bit. Okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, Booth and Brennan happened to be in the same car because somehow Brennan got ready fast enough that she was like, sure, I'll drive with you. But she is ripping, they're ripping into each other this whole time. And she's just explaining that she's being so awkward though. She's explaining that Mark, her and Mark's relationship is just friends with benefits. She has no intention of dating him. She doesn't actually like him in like a conversational way. She's just using him for his body and his deep sea welding breath holding techniques because
I
he can
know
hold his
she tells Booth he's a deep sea welder and he can hold his breath for 3 minutes down there. And then Booth's like, "Oh, you mean underwater?"
She's like,
I was
of
like,
course.
oral sex joke in the first 3 minutes. Good job, guys.
Kind of puts him in his place though a little bit.
It's so funny. He's a little intimidated. He's like, "Oh, Oh, because it's kind of a cool job, you know?
Oh, yeah. Well, he
Where the
was
hell did she meet this guy? Seriously.
the examples were his guesses for what he did were ridiculous. Tango dancer, bricklayer. I was like, these are so random. Anyway,
Oh,
yeah.
God.
So now we are at
We
the crime
arrive.
scene. We've
We
arrived.
have arrived.
And what happens?
Oh, they arrive at the crime scene. Booth is incredulous that anyone would try to blow up an outhouse. And Brennan goes on to talk about methane gas, and Booth gets all grossed out, and she thinks it's really funny, like how grossed out he is by poop and stuff. And we learn that poop is mostly water, which is hard to believe because it's, kind of solid.
Yeah, I was surprised by that.
But I mean, it's maybe like a mushroom where, when it dehydrates, it gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Regardless, Brennan's wearing my favorite sunglasses. And I mean by favorite that I friggin' hate these
They're
sunglasses.
so ugly.
And they're making a comeback. These are like 19, like early 2000s kind of style sunglasses that I just, they're so unflattering. I find they're like
Yeah.
little rectangles. And anyway, I hate them. I hate them. I hate
It's not
them.
a good look.
Turns out this guy that was in the outhouse survived the blast. And they're not there because of him. Because when the outhouse blew up, they discovered that there was a body stuffed in this big pile of poop underneath the outhouse. So his legs are kind of sticking out. Anyway, it's pretty crazy. And then Brennan kind of acts grossed out by like all the poop and the body and everything.
Yeah.
So anyway, it was pretty wild.
Which is shocking that she would actually be grossed out. That's an Angela move, but yes.
Yes, exactly. And then what happens? We have our intro.
Bum bum ba ba ba
Ba
dum
ba
bum. Ba 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 ba.
All right, I want to talk about this because we're back at the
Okay.
lab. Back at the lab.
Yes. Back of the lap.
Everyone's wearing hazmat suits on the platform because, I guess, because of the poop. It's like, who knows what's in the poop? But my question is, they're on the platform, they're examining. No one else in the building is wearing hazmat suits, just these guys. And I was
Just
like,
these
is it?
guys.
I like, why wouldn't they have the body in like a contained room, like a for contaminants? I could see that, but not in the open. Like, why are they out in the open with hazmat suits on? It's very strange to me, don't
Yeah.
you think? There's a few things like this that are like, guys.
You'd think they would have another room for stuff like that
Well, they
in
do. They
case
have
of
the room with the thing that
contamination.
sucks the stuff up through the pipes and,
Yeah.
everything like that. And they close the door and bah, bah, bah. Like, it's like
Yeah.
they have rooms like that. So
Or like Gormagon's whole vault is probably not there anymore, so maybe they could do it down there.
they could do something.
Maybe.
Anyway, what do they discover? Brennan finds a gunshot wound to the head, and then she asks where her new assistant is because Clark quit, remember? Remember when Clark quit because he thought there was TMI in the office?
Because they're a bunch of horn dogs, yeah.
And Cam responds. She says that the new assistant's getting all her security crap done at the front of the building. So
Yeah.
what happens after? What's happening then?
Well, we find out
Post.
also that the victim's been dead for 72 hours, his front teeth
Right.
are all shattered, and he actually had veneers on his teeth. Which is interesting.
Yeah.
They have this realization, they being Brennan and Cam, kind of at the t simultaneously, that
Yes.
this victim has something shoved down his throat. So they use tweezers to pull it out. And it
Can I just
appears to
mention?
be a photograph.
It's
Yes.
a photograph shoved in his throat. Yes. Lance Sweets is here.
Yes. We don't know
Like,
why. This
he's making
episode, next
jokes.
episode.
He's making jokes. Nobody's having it. He's being like psychologizing all over the place. He's just like psychologizing. And it's just no one has any time for him. They're just like already over it. And they act like
Oh yeah.
he's so desperate to be involved in these cases. It's so funny.
I don't even know how he has clearance to be involved in these things. Like, what? Why is he there?
Well, he is an FBI guy, so there's that. He
But
must
he's
have gone
like,
through basic training.
yeah. But I'm thinking, like, what purpose is he serving being there with the body?
Why is this an FBI case, too? Because
Yeah.
there's an explosion over the other state line. Like, I don't, I under, I'm very curious about that, too, moving forward. I want to ask that question. Why is this an FBI case? You know,
Yeah.
sometimes I wonder those things. Anyway, I don't want to get caught up too much
Instead
in
of
this.
police.
We can't
True.
see what's on the picture, right? That they pull out of his throat.
We can't see anything. They're going to give it to Angela to recreate it because she is an artist and apparently that's something she can do.
And
So.
I was, this is where I noticed that Hodgins doesn't react to the mentioning of Angela and getting her help with this particular task. That's where I
Yeah.
noticed it. I was like,
Yeah, there's no indication
no
whatsoever that he's
reaction to
upset or anything.
Angela. Exactly.
We now go to the next scene, which kills me because you just mentioned one body that had been in fecal matter and six people with suits around, these hazmat suits. And in the next scene, we have Hodgins and our new intern, Daisy Wick, sifting through poop with no hazmat suit on, which she is asking for. And they're surrounded by barrels of poo with that are open on the top. They must
Brittany,
stink in
I'm
there.
stunned in fucking. I'm stunned by this scene. They are sitting amidst huge metal, like oil drums filled with shit. And I'm just gonna
Yeah.
say, you said you've been in an outhouse. You've been to an outhouse.
Oh, they do not smell good.
There's that, A. B, these barrels are filled with liquid. It's
Yeah.
liquid refuse. Apparently, it's all poo. But I'm like, this is not, where are they getting all this? The outhouse was like,
It was
it wouldn't
small.
be. It would be
No.
like
Two
solid
barrels,
mud.
maybe?
It would be
Solid
mud.
mud and probably only two barrels worth.
I don't understand this idea. And yes, you're right, the smell alone. I don't get it. And they're open. They're just open barrels
Is
of poo.
this poor woman, this is her first day.
Jesus.
And she's
Where
so
did all this
excited.
come from? Where did all this shit
So
come from?
maybe that trucker had a big problem.
Oh my God.
Oh, maybe because there was an explosion, it liquefied the poo.
Is that really? Come on.
I have no
Brittany.
idea. I'm just
Scientist
trying to
Brittany is
help.
on the case. She's on the case.
Accountant Brittany is on the case. Okay,
Accountant slash scientist, Dr.
so
Brittany.
Daisy is, we meet this Daisy girl, and she is wonderful. She is so, she's such a go-getter. She's so like excited to be there. She's obsessed with Dr. Brennan, wants to meet her. She just wants to make sure that anything she finds is known that do known by Dr. Brennan that she's like succeeding so much and she wants to impress her. But this attitude is extremely annoying to her coworkers. So Hodgins is
Oh.
having none of it. She is doing her best, but oh my God. Anyway, so they find a little bit of bone, whatever. Then, more importantly, they find some human hair. And Daisy's like, "Oh, okay, excellent. I know Brennan is a stickler for protocol, so I'll bring it to Hair and Fibers." Yes.
She finds the coccyx bone,
Yes.
apparently of the truck driver.
Yeah.
Do you know what the coccyx bone is, dear?
No.
It's at the very bottom of your spine.
Okay.
It's like what connects your butt to your spine or something. So you're telling me this trucker, he got
Is
blown
mi
up that
missing his
his
coccyx.
bone just. His coccyx is gone. That's like an important part of your like hinge.
Well, anyway, they did say he wasn't going to have any other kids.
Terrible. Terrible.
He is severely injured and we never see him again. So best of luck to the truck driver. Okay. With that, with the driver's coccyx, I can't say that. Anyway, we're moving on. So they find this human hair and they realize, Hodgins realizes, because he is ignoring Daisy and not trying to, and not following her suggestion that Miss Dr. Brennan is a stickler for protocol. He takes a look. There's no root bulb. He notices that it's Mongoloid in origin. And this doesn't fit with the Caucasian victim that they found. So yeah, they are realizing that it must be part of a wig.
Yes.
Or a toupee, but or a hairpiece of some kind.
Toupee. Is that a great word?
It is a toupee. It is a great word.
Toupee. It's so funny. Like when you say it, you can immediately conjure like what it is, you know, and how like the bad toupees. Anyway, I just want to, because the next scene we have Angela hanging out with everybody, walking through the lab, talking about what sort of rendering she's done with the skull so far. And yep. I want you to ask your sister something. I really okay. do. I want you to ask okay. her this.
I'm going
to
text her right now.
Thank you. Oh, this is great.
Mark is gone. He has left.
Did you lose Mark your is going husband on an adventure. And child?
No, they're going on an adventure. We did a, sorry.
Are you ordering in for dinner?
We're having, Mark's going to come home. We're going to have chili for dinner, I think, tonight. Aww. I think. But because it's easy to make. But we made, for all of his family members, we tried to make these. It'll be trying to make a four-leaf clover, but with Wayne's butt. So we painted his butt. Then we put, like, I gotta get Mark to send me a picture.
The hell? So
we put
funny.
The paper on like this. And then we turned yeah. it 90 degrees and then put it on again.
Oh my God.
It turned out pretty well, actually.
Was he laughing his literal ass off, Wayne?
Oh, yeah. Wayne was so like, funny. He just kept sticking his butt out for more pain. He was so excited. Anyway, okay.
Question for Jessica. This is Brittany's yes. sister. She's a scientist. She's a woman in science. Okay.
Okay.
Does she wear tank tops in her lab?
Question for scientist Jessica from the team.
That's Squintcast.
Of Squintcast.
We need real-time answers here, people.
Okay, let's see. Real-time
answers. We should have your
required.
Sister on the show. And we really ask should. All she these would, questions.
She loves bones. So she would be like really.
Oh, great. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay, 434. She just read it. Okay, she's ready. Uh-huh. Do you wear a tank top at work?
No jacket, no lab coat.
With no lab coat.
I love it.
This is what they are wearing.
Just bones. Angela. Just Angela.
Holy but Angela's Angela. A scientist.
Man, I just think it's wild.
She just responded, LMFAO, are you stalking me? She must be at the lab wearing a tank top. No lab coat right now. I am right now, but I am not allowed to. LMAO.
All right. Question answered. Here we go. You're not allowed. But they do
oh
it.
Oh, my God.
That's funny.
Are you stalking
Thank you.
Me? Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you, Jessica. I had to know.
Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
We got real-time answers from my scientist, actual real-life scientist sister.
Tell her to mix up some hormones for me, would you? Could she steal some hormones from me?
Just a small ask.
Liquid hormones, inject them into my body.
okay, where are we at?
Oh, man.
Okay, so Daisy is like, hey, guys, I found Daisy. The toupee. Hey, I found the toupee. Please make sure Brennan knows I am the one who found the most recent piece of thing that is going to break the case. And she's so annoying, but I love her. I love her character. And I think I love just her want everyone to know.
I just want everyone to know that Brittany loves this character.
I love this character so much. She is on equal footing with Sweets, in my opinion.
Oh, well, okay.
Anyway, I feel like Kelly might not be on the same page as me. Okay, so anyway, Angela is like, hey guys, I did my thing. I looked at the skull.
Welcome to my channel.
Welcome to my channel. Like and subscribe.
I found this guy's skull and I made a face.
And they're like, wait, we recognize this guy. They're just from the skull. Just seeing the skull. Hodgins. Oh, I recognize this guy. Yeah. And then they add skin to him. And then Hodgins and Angela, who are not acknowledging at all that they've been broken up, are going, oh my God, I do know who this is. And so she does a little Google search and it comes up with a website, Busted by Bill. And so it's this guy who's who catches people cheating on their spouses. And it's quite comical, actually. Yes.
Okay, Brittany. I'm just going to go a little bit of a tangent. Not like off to the side. I'm going to ask you, have you ever heard of a show called Cheaters?
No. Okay. I don't think so.
You are missing out. My ex-boyfriend and I used to like probably get really high and watch this show. It's called Cheaters. Sorry, not Heaters.
That's funny. Sorry.
A little Freudian slip there. Anyway, it's called Cheaters, and they have had a few hosts over the years, but there was this one absolutely famous one named Joey Greco, and they would do this. They would set these guys up. They would set them up to fail. It was all about this, and oftentimes the couples, quote-unquote, were like 18 years old, 20 years old, so of course they're going to fucking cheat. They're like kids, right? Anyway, so they set these people up. And they would set them up with like young. Anyway, it was so funny.
It had 10 seasons.
It's amazing, Brittany. But oh, you gotta see. I'm gonna try to search it up. But the Joey Greco episode where he got like punched out by one of the guys is so funny. Oh, and I wonder, like, if this guy was sort of based on like a Joey Greco type. Anyway, I just thought it was so funny.
Was it real or was it
ish, you know? It's so funny. It's like, yeah, they were real people, but I mean, it was pretty dumb. Like, it was so dumb. And Dave and I would be like, these people are so dumb. It was great reality TV. I loved
that. Does sound good. It's like so Maury, funny. But before Maury happened.
Well, no, I think Maury was well established. Cheaters is just like phenomenal.
Oh my God. Okay.
Anyway, that was my aside.
I love it. I love it. So, yeah. So the victim is someone named Bill O'Rourke.
Can I take it back? He wasn't punched out. He was stabbed.
So much worse.
I saw the episode. He got stabbed. Dave and I were like, no way. We were freaking out. It's so funny.
They actually aired that?
Yeah. Holy shit. But then he didn't, like, you think he quit after? Anyway, he got into fights all the time with the guys, but they got stabbed once. So it was pretty crazy.
As soon as that happened, they were probably like, yes, this is amazing. He's like bleeding out on the floor and they're all going, wow, this is better than we ever could have expected. Oh my God. Okay. Well, yeah, our victim's name is Bill O'Rourke. And he was a private investigator. Yes, that is all.
Was he, though? He was like more of a journalist, wasn't he?
He was like a journalist. He was, I think, by trade, he was technically a journalist, but I think.
Yeah.
But he was a. He had this idea for a show. Anyway, we're going to talk more about him in a bit, but.
Is that a Harry Potter bottle?
It is a Harry Potter bottle. Gryffindor.
Oh, you're a Gryffindor. I don't know what. I'm probably a Snake or whatever they're called.
No,
know.
You would be Ravenclaw.
Ooh. Okay. Why do you say that?
Or Gryffindor.
Blah, blah, blah. Why am I because Ravenclaw?
You're smart and kind, like Ravenclaws. Ellie just, I think, are you That's gonna, funny. Is your drink coming down through your nose?
I wasn't sure. Okay, I'm sorry.
Oh,
we're
my
going
God.
Out of the place.
Okay, yeah, sorry. I thought we'd be less loopy recording in the middle of the day, but maybe not.
No, I think we're gonna be really tired later and we'll be like,
I think so too. I did take a 5-minute nap in my chair earlier today, so I was working and I was like,
good for you.
Just gonna rest my eyes for a minute. Anyway, okay, Booth and Brennan are in Booth's car, of course, but she doesn't have a car. And they are going to see about Mr. O'Rourke. And they're finding out a little bit more details about him. Oh my God. They're also having
Yes. No, I know what you're saying. We're regaled with some discussion about monogamy and religion and all this crap. And obviously they disagree. And I know, like, spoiler alert, Booth and Brennan get together eventually, but I don't know how they do because they have completely different views on this stuff. Anyway, they're on their way to see Bill O'Rourke's wife.
They're going to go, see his wife. And he must have been making pretty good money because apparently they live in a super poshy neighborhood. And yeah, their opinions are obviously different, as you just alluded to, that Booth's opinion is that if you cheat on your wife, then you are going to get what's coming to you. And she's like, actually, polygamy is where it's at.
I don't know if polygamy, is it polygamy?
She says 83% of societies are polygamous.
Yeah, but polygamous connotes that there's a man and several
like
wives.
A one controlling person. Yeah.
Whereas polyamory means everybody's just screwing
like
everybody.
Multiple. Which I went to high school and was close friends with a girl who, she now, maybe I've talked to her about her before, but she runs a successful wedding venue with her partner, with her husband. And she recently started a page about her polyamorous life. So she has twins with her husband. And I think all of her kids are with her husband. But she also has a partner. And her husband has a partner. And they're part of they call it a polycule. It is not for me, but it is fascinating. It's very interesting.
Like, I just don't have time. Like,
no.
It's like, I cannot be asked or bothered. Could you imagine, like, the laundry, the dishes, the meal? Like,
it would be a lot.
And then, I mean, sex schmecks, who gives a shit? What are we getting out of this, you know?
True.
Weird.
But it's interesting, though. I'm like,
I mean, not weird. Okay, I'll take it back. I apologize. I don't mean weird. Like, it's just, I can't. I wouldn't be able to handle it emotionally.
It's not for me. No. Same.
That's
not
my
for me.
Problem.
But it is very interesting that she's sharing about it. And I'm like, every time she posts, I'm like, that's rather interesting and cool for you.
Have fun. Also, is this where we learn that Brennan is seeing?
No, not yet.
Okay. Because it was about monogamy and religion. They
Soon.
Were getting into it. And they have like fun. Booth and Brennan have fundamental like differences and views on this. Like fundamentally different views on these subjects. I'm just curious, like how does it work in the end, you know, that they get together, you know?
It's funny because even within this episode, she kind of changes her tune a little bit. We will talk about that.
Don't even. I can't.
Okay. So wait 1 second.
Yes.
I thought that we were going to see
Bill's wife.
Bill O'Rourke's wife. We are, but I thought we were going to go see her at her home. But I just realized that no, they met at the FBI headquarters.
Studio.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. They went to the studio where the show is produced. That's correct.
Interesting. Okay, anyway. So yeah. This woman is interesting. I found
what woman? The wife?
The wife is interesting.
Why?
They're supposed to have their 20th anniversary in only 5 days. So did you find that she was very upset that he had died? I didn't really
she was very
find...
aloof. I hear what you're saying. Like, she didn't have a lot of strong emotion about her.
No.
She was just very, matter of fact.
She was more worried, like, okay, how am I supposed to break this news to my daughter? Because she's been away at school and her father is, like, the light of her life.
Well, that is a difficult thing to do.
So apparently, as you mentioned, he was a serious journalist, and then he met this guy, Arthur, and then they ended up producing this show, and he made a ridiculous amount of money doing it. But she was always worried that something like this was going to happen to him, because he was constantly pissing people off and putting people in these horrible situations. So anyways, she basically, they ask if he had any enemies, and she's like, you're joking. Like, yes, a ton.
Well, so we meet at the studio, not only the wife, we also meet the producer, Veronica, the show creator. I think she's the producer, and then he's like a creator of the show, Arthur.
Yeah.
And then we also meet a cameraman. I forget his name.
Peter.
Pete. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
And this, so the producer of the show, he was trying to play it off like, oh yeah, no, everything was fine last time. I was the last time to see him, but everything was perfectly fine. And Peter's like, and we just had a small discussion off to the side. Peter's like, you actually got in a huge fight, Mr. Arthur. Don't you remember that?
Everybody knew that Bill O'Rourke and Arthur were arguing, like, the night that he died, pretty much, right?
Yeah. Which it sounds like they frequently got into fights, but they were extremely close friends. So it wasn't out of character that they would have a fight and then they would make up. So Arthur wasn't really worried that he disappeared for a few days.
Right. And I guess the thing is, okay, so Booth and Brennan, I just want to throw this out there because this is crazy to me. They're planning to basically look at all these old tapes of the show to try to find a suspect, first of all, which is insane.
Good luck.
And then they start sort of grilling Arthur on the spot about where he was, blah, blah, blah. And then Arthur immediately is like, he cut them off. He says, I'm going to get a lawyer, right? And I was like, good for you, Arthur. I was like, thank you.
Yeah.
You should always get a lawyer, everybody, regardless.
Regardless, especially
innocent
if you're innocent.
Or not. Yeah, and more especially if you're innocent. You need
so
representation.
You don't say something, exactly. So you don't say something
if you need
stupid
a defense
that's
going to
create a problem.
If you need a good defense lawyer, call me. I know a guy.
Okay, there we go.
All right.
Excellent.
Where do we go to next?
So I guess now we're back at the FBI. They confirmed that Arthur, they talked to his lawyers and they confirmed that he was away in Atlantic City all weekend. So he has a pretty solid alibi. And I'm trying to think, sorry, I'm looking ahead. I completely forgot where we were going with this.
Oh, well, no, Booth has to go through all the tapes they got from the show, and Sweets is there. They're going to do it together, and he's trying to get Brennan to join them to watch the tapes, but she has a date.
Yes,
and
okay, thank you.
We find out at this point that it's someone other than Mark. It's like this other dude that she's dating.
A botanist.
Who is a botanist, yes, and he has more of like an intellectually stimulating kind of presence with her, so she prefers to like go on dates with him outside of the bedroom to like, you know, have intellectual conversations, but then when she wants to have sex she calls up Mark. So
basically it sounds like this other guy is just a friend because I'm pretty sure that they don't even kiss, as far as what she was saying. This poor guy, he's probably like, hey, I'm playing
more
the long
importantly,
game.
More importantly, this is where Booth starts to slut shame Brennan.
Yeah.
And it seriously turns into this like high school level conversation. And I'm just curious, like, what this is like 2008 by this point, right?
Yeah.
People
I think
are
so.
Dating more
September
than one
20,
person
2008.
At the same time. Like, people are dating multiple people at the same time. I don't understand. I think at one point I dated like five guys at once or something. Back in the day when I had
Damn.
game. When I had game.
And more time.
Much more time. Talk
More
about
time to.
polyamory.
How long did that go on for, though?
Not long.
But
It's hard
still.
to juggle. It's hard to
Yeah.
juggle. And, sometimes it's just like, man, that guy's not good. Great. Like, you learn pretty quickly, like, which ones are keepers,
True. Especially as you get
Anyway.
older. Okay.
Yeah.
So Daisy and Cam have their first one-on-one interaction, it seems. Daisy's just so happy to be in Cam's autopsy room because it stinks everywhere else, and she's like, "It smells so good in here. Thank you for this smell."
Yeah, it smells like formaldehyde. Cam's like, eau de formaldehyde. I just want to go back quickly to this Brennan going on a
Yes.
date with a botanist thing, because when they exchange, like, Sweets gets off the elevator to join Booth to watch the tapes. Brennan gets on the elevator to go on her date. And not only is Booth slut shaming her and giving her heart the gears, but then he does this a couple times about how she has a bad radar for guys and that she can't. He keeps bringing up her past, like all the past guys she's dated and how terrible they are, and how she has a bad, she's a bad judge of people. I just want to say he's being a super dick. A super
Yeah.
dick.
I agree. Not great.
Nope.
Well, yeah, Daisy and Cam. I really like
Go on. I
Daisy. She's
apologize. We're
great.
with Daisy
No,
and
it's
Cam.
good.
Brittany
We're with
loves
Daisy and
Daisy.
Cam. Everyone loves Daisy. She's in there talking about some of the damage on the body, how there's some fractures must have happened because of the photo that was shoved in his mouth. And then she kind of just goes off about how she hopes that Brennan will love her. And she, yes, she values Brennan, and Brennan, her, we're exactly alike. And she just goes on this whole thing, and Cam is like, "Yo, take it down 20 notches, calm down, and just like do your job." And then Angela walks in. She's nice about it. But Angela
I
walks
just,
in. Yes, go on.
yes. No, I just want to say that we learned that Daisy has a boyfriend in this moment.
Yes.
And you can tell there's trouble in paradise because she starts talking about, comparing the dead and the living and how
Yeah.
annoying the living people can be. And then the way Cam says, why don't you keep an air of mystery about yourself kind of
Yeah.
idea. It's just a very polite and diplomatic way of telling someone to shut the fuck up. Like, it's
Yeah.
so funny. Anyway,
Exactly.
Angela's here.
She had to she I feel like she had to let her down easy because she seems like such a nice girl. So yeah, Angela's here. All she's saying is she thinks that she can only see a little bit from the picture that was shoved down the person's throat, but she thinks that it's a picture of two people knocking boots, is what she was saying.
Yes. Also,
So
Angela is wearing a lab coat over her tank top.
there we go. Did Jessica say
So
anything further?
next,
She did not.
no, nothing happened. Just Cam thought it was funny the way that Angela's clinical terms of knocking boots, like she just made a joke about that. So next we have Booth
Yeah.
and Sweets looking over the tapes. I don't know what they're eating. Are they eating ice cream? Are they eating some kind of food? They're just hanging out. And they're watching these tapes of this cheaters type show. And I just want to say the actors in the videos, like, imagine having that part. Like, I'm gonna play a show on a show. Like, you're playing an actor, a character on a show that's on a show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like a show within a show. And I just think it's brilliant. I really commend this director. There's a couple things they do, but this is funny to me. Like, I love all the actors who are playing in this cheaters type show. Are like, hey, how can you do this to me? Like, oh, it's not what you think. And it's just so funny to me. And then they
I
find one. Wait, what are you gonna say?
have to say it. in the script, these two characters are called Tidy Whitey Guy and Tidy Whitey Wife.
That's so funny. I love Tidy it. Whitey I, guy. I want to be Tidy Whitey Wife. I think it would be so fun. I hope they're all working. I hope they're having great careers because they did a so wonderful too. Job. They just, it was so funny to me. And this one guy punches out Bill O'Rourke on camera, similar to a Joey Greco style fight. But he punches this guy who's super angry, and his name is Jim Dodd. And then, Well, just Booth is watching this video, and he makes a psychological kind of observation or assessment of Jim Dodd, saying how he has a lot of anger issues. And Sweets is so like, he's so like, wow, he's just gobsmacked.
Very good.
Very astute, Booth. Like, really good. Good assessment. So good impressed.
Observation. So anyway, there, Booth in this moment, as you said, he's being a little shit. So in this moment, Booth is like, sweet. Okay, Dodd's our guy. We gotta go tell Bones. Come on. We gotta go tell her. He's like, Sweets is like, so are we gonna call first, maybe? Which is the second time in this episode that he has decided not to call and to just go barge in on her life. So yeah, Sweets is along for that ride, and it's he about goes to along.
That's exactly
awkward.
What I said. He goes along for the ride, even though this should have been a phone call. Like literally, should have been a phone call moment.
Or he should have shut him down and been like, Booth. She's on a date right now. Do you really think that's appropriate?
I don't think Sweets necessarily knew she was on a date. He just thought it was really weird that he would want to rush to Bones and like wherever she was.
He did know she was on a date because at the end of that scene, when they walk past each other, whatever, Booth is like, oh yeah, she's got a date. And he says, how do you feel about that?
You say that, but later we'll talk. Go.
Okay. So apparently this extremely romantic date is at the Royal Diner. So that's cool. Poor Jason. So the botanist is there. They're having kind of like an awkward conversation. Booth comes and Sweets comes. And then they're chatting. And he's like, we have to go. Yes.
Can I just say that it's not a weird, awkward thing, Brittany? Okay, people do this. I used to go on dates, go to a movie, and then go somewhere afterwards and talk about the movie.
Yeah.
Everybody does this.
I just assumed that it was the first and only place they went.
No, they were just talking about movies. I think they had gone to see a movie together. And then they were talking about it. And my favorite part of this is Booth interrupting their date. And he's like, the guy, his name's Jason. He says, who the hell are these guys? Right? And Booth's like, I'm her partner. And then Sweet says, I'm their therapist. Anyway,
he's
so uncomfortable
to be there. He does not want
it's
to be there.
So uncomfortable.
Oh my God.
Terrible.
Booth also says in this moment, like at the end of this scene, he's like, she's like, what the hell? Like, why couldn't you have just waited until I said goodnight to Jason or until tomorrow? Why does this have to happen right now? He's like, well, I'm just looking out for you because you don't have the best taste in men. So I'm just like trying to protect you.
Oh, Jesus Christ. And not like, only fuck that, off, Booth. When he got exactly, thank you, Brittany. Because then Sweets whispers to Booth when they're there together. He says, did you know she was on a date? And Booth goes, it slipped my mind. And
he did know.
While he was saying, like, did he know she was on a date? Like, maybe he's like, did you know she was on a date? So that's fucked up. And then how does Booth know where she is? First, second.
True.
Did you notice Brennan's makeup? She was all like, she had like dark, smoky eyes.
She was like glammed up. Oh, yeah.
Makeup. Yeah.
You know, for Mark after.
So Booth basically starts grilling this guy. His name's Jason. He's a botanist. Starts grilling him, finding out all this information, cock blocking Brennan again. And then we learn what? He has a tight Italian suit. He's never been married and he doesn't have kids.
And Booth thinks that he's gay, which is ridiculous. But anyway.
Oh my God. My question is though, because as Jason's leaving the diner, because he's really uncomfortable with this whole situation, he randomly asks Brennan if she wants to go to a Coldplay concert with him the next night.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, but what? Like, when you go to a concert like that, you buy your tickets months
well ahead
in
of
advance,
time.
And you already know who you're going with. Like,
yeah,
you know, like, unless somebody dropped out last minute, which is highly unlikely. I'm just saying.
Well, she says yes. And she says, yeah, come pick me up at my office at 6 o'clock tomorrow.
Yes.
See you then, Jason. Just the two of us. No one else will be around.
Booth and Sweets agree that Jason's gay because he's drinking tea. He likes Coldplay. He wears Italian suits. And he's never been married. That's their deduction.
Yes. And Brennan is not a help at all because she says that they have not had sex yet. Or ever. Because she only finds him intellectually stimulating.
Right.
And doesn't have physical feelings for him.
Right. But they think it would have happened by now if he wasn't gay because she's so hot. So Sweets and Booth agree. Like, she's too attractive not to want to have sex with. I'm like,
yeah.
Good one, guys. We're really winning on all fronts here.
This episode would not fly in today's
I don't climate. Know, man.
Anyway, so I'm so happy. We see a familiar face the next day. Next morning, Booth and Brennan go into the Royal Diner to meet their favorite stalker, Noel.
His name is Noel, and he's played by the greatest character actor of all time, of this time, of this era, named Scoot McNairy. He is a phenomenal character actor that literally can walk around almost invisible on the streets, and he works constantly. This guy works constantly. He's everywhere.
He's been in a
all
lot.
At once. He's been in so much stuff. He plays these tiny little parts, part here, part there, part here, part there. I just admire his career so much. And he's so talented. I love him. I love Scoot.
Well,
Scoot!
Scoot. So we last met Noel when we were in episode 4 of season 3, The Secret in the Soil. The one episode where there was that organic farming case.
Yeah. Which is the other one that this writer wrote. No. Which one? Oh, he directed.
Oh, yeah.
It.
No, you're right. Yeah.
The same
director.
Yeah,
the director. Same director.
Same director as Secret in the Soil.
I wonder if they recommended this guy to come by.
I wonder
come back because
of
that.
Steven and Scoot have worked together. I'm going to look that up while you talk about this.
Okay. While I'm talking about this, then you definitely should. So what they want to do is they want to have this guy, Noel, they want to have him stalk Jim Dodd. So Booth says, listen, I'll give you $50. You gotta follow him, and by Sunday you're gonna give me all the details on this guy. I want you to tell me where he goes, who he sees, who he's talking to, everything about him, everything he does. I want to hear. So he says, okay, yeah, $50. Namaste, man, namaste. So he was pretty happy about that, I think. Just to be involved, but anyway. It seems that Hodgins, Cam, and Daisy get quite a bit of time in this episode together.
Yeah.
I thought so, at least. Or Hodgins, and Hodgins does not like Daisy, which I feel a little bit bad for, but anyway, that's fine. So they went through all of this outhouse sludge, they call it. They found a bunch of stuff. They found a 40 caliber bullet, which is interesting. Also, just like a bunch of other random stuff that you would expect to find. Like some poor kid used the potty and dropped their toy car in there. Bunch of cell phones. Like, yeah, that's a lost cause once you drop that in there. No, thank you. Anyway, but I don't think they did not find the murder weapon, they don't think. Daisy, however, the main point of this scene is to show that Daisy is doing things that she should not be doing on her own without permission from Cam. So she went ahead and she, instead of waiting for Booth and Brennan to find the murder weapon and be able to match it, she went and looked at the lumbar fractures that they found on the victim. And then she found out where he was treated, which was Providence Hospital, and found out who had beat him up for him to get those injuries. And Cam is pissed. Absolutely pissed that she went and did
Not
this.
happy, not happy.
So,
She's
yeah.
like, and why shouldn't I fire you right now?
Oh, yeah. And then she's not getting the hint. She's like, doesn't it feel like I've always been here?
She's so oblivious to like
She's so
how she's
oblivious.
coming off. Like she's so such a like literal brown noser, and she's so like super keen, but in a really annoying way that no one
Yeah.
is. She's not coming off. She's coming off more abrasive than
Yeah.
I think she wants to.
And like a know-it-all.
She's not warm. She's very
No.
abrasively like
A
desperate.
little too intense.
She's
Desperate, that's the word.
what people would call a pick me girl
Yes,
now.
definitely. So she does, although she went about it the wrong way, she did find out some pretty helpful information. And that is that the person who was involved in this altercation, is a police officer who carries the same gun, who carries a gun with the same caliber bullet that was found in the poop pit. And so they're like, okay, let's bring her in. And this lady, so Booth and Brennan are talking to her at the FBI. And Brennan is like, oh, okay, yeah, this girl, she gets it. Like, this girl's a smart lady. And then the more she talks, she's like, oh, yeah, no, I think maybe she's not so smart. Because
Brad's like, yeah, maybe she's delusional.
maybe she's crazy.
Because what's mentioned earlier, just so I'll just quickly mention this. With this cheaters type show, there's a common theme. Often people or the men say they're just not they're not really cheating on their wives. They're trying to show these young women the dangers of internet dating or something like that. Like it's like, oh, I wasn't cheating. I was just trying to show her how dangerous it is if they go on the internet and try to find dates and stuff. And it's just like
Yeah.
really funny. It's so funny
Well,
the way they try to deflect.
that's exactly what she says that he was trying to do. She was like, oh no, he wasn't cheating. He was trying to teach this girl that it was very dangerous to meet someone online. And Booth and Brennan are like, your husband went to a motel and brought flowers, and then he took his pants off.
Took his pants off. Exactly. And then Booth uses this time to argue with Brennan about having two boyfriends. Like he's having this other conversation with
Yeah.
her. I'm like, leave her alone.
Yeah. It's a
Man.
bit much. But anyway, this lady, she's like, oh shit. Okay, yeah, I guess here's my sidearm. Like, I guess take my gun because it doesn't sound so good. Anyway, Brendan and Cam are in the autopsy room, and Cam wants to show her some stuff that she found on the victim. And Brennan, because she's completely unprofessional suddenly, just wants to talk to her about how Booth is upset that he doesn't get that she's dating two men, and he thinks that that's so ridiculous. And Cam's like, yeah, fuck that guy. Guys only care when they're the ones who have to watch you date two guys and be happy. But if he was dating two girls, then it would be a different situation.
She's not wrong. She's not
No,
wrong.
she's not wrong. And
Can I just
Angela is
say?
there.
Oh, yeah,
And
Angela's there.
she's like,
Yes.
oh man, I miss college. I'm like, oh, Angela, shut up. Yes, what's up? Sorry.
There's a bunch of stuff that happens in terms of finding little pieces of evidence that I don't care about. I just don't care about this evidence. I just find
Some
it
of it is
like.
helpful,
Yeah,
like the
but then
fact
it's
that they
like
found Viagra in his
they have to
system.
kind of like bleed it out. Like they're kind of like slowly trickling out these little teeny tiny pieces of evidence. And I'm like, how long is this investigation taking? Is it taking like a full day to find this stuff? Like, I don't understand like where we're at. Is Angela still wearing the same tank top? I didn't notice. Like, it's just, you know, just curious.
Well,
anyway,
and we find out that he had Viagra in his system. But in order to find that out, we have to go through this whole conversation about how Brennan should be able to date two men.
Yes.
And then, oh God. And then poor Daisy comes in. It's like, hi, Dr. Brennan. I'm Daisy Wick. I'm your new grad student. It's like so excited. And Brennan is like, yeah, I'd rather not learn your name until I've assessed
your work. God. Brennan is cold as ice.
So cold. I think, which makes sense, especially after everything happened with Zach.
No, but she was rude.
It's
she
so rude. Bad. She's so mean.
You'd never do that. You'd be like, oh, hi, Daisy. Nice to meet you. Let's move forward. Like, just like. She was literally so rude to her, and also
she's so Brittany, mean.
Yes, I have to take. I have to pee.
Yeah, you do you.
Okay.
So we're gonna go meet up with Noel because Noel has been working hard, and he's been trying to figure out what. Oh my god. Anyway, he's been trying to figure out what's been going on with this dude, the Dodd. But before we get there, we get a whole. Conversation with Booth and Brennan, like, geez Louise, they cannot. It's shocking that they're not already dating at this point, because they're having like a whole conversation about how apparently that police officer, she had an alibi, everything is fine, because her and her husband started doing some tantric sex workshop, and Brennan is like, oh, you know, that can extend orgasms between 400 and 500%.
Yes.
He's like, holy shit. Okay, what? Anyway, so this guy's waiting. Sounds like this guy is it's much ado about nothing, basically.
What does Noel find out about our friend Jim Dodd?
Well, he finds out a lot. He ate a hot dog. No, they give him all this detail, which was unnecessary. He ended up going down into the basement of this church, and he goes and he has this meeting. And it's a divorce support group. So he goes and has this meeting, and he has this BFF that he sits with. And for 2 hours, he chats with this guy. And yeah, probably this is not the guy that they're looking for.
Right.
So he gives them $50. And then Booth says, okay, go get all the mung beans and the enemas you want, boy. Here you go. See ya. Like, what? Anyway, but he photocopied the sign-in sheet, so they gave it to him. Which is
right.
Where did he find a photocopier?
Oh well, you can get those at the library or wherever. You could use it anywhere. Also, I just want to say this character Noel does return.
He does
times, and it makes me very happy.
He's a great character.
I can't see any other instances where he worked with this specific director, because he did obviously The Secret of the Soil, and then this one. He may have worked with him in another capacity, but I can't find it right now. Somebody on the internet might be able to correct me, but we say adieu to our friends Noel Lifton / Scoot McNairy. I'm very grateful he was here. Anyway,
we will see him again in about 2 seasons.
I love Scoot so much.
I did miss a crucial part of this scene. And that is, they know for sure that this is not the guy, because it would appear that the main reason he's even going to these divorce support groups is because he's getting an opportunity to hook up with these sad women.
Also, Jim Dodd doesn't get slut-shamed for having more than one girlfriend.
Multiple partners.
Yeah.
He's the man because he has multiple conquests. Brutal. But hard to be a woman.
What happens next? We meet up with Mr. Dodd. He gets interrogated at the FBI by Booth. We learn that Jim Dodd owes a bunch of money all over town. He's trying to avoid paying like alimony or something. And he's trying to avoid his mother. And he owes a loan shark. Anyway, so he wouldn't have He doesn't give a shit about this guy, Bill O'Rourke, no. at all. He's got his own mess of problems.
Yeah, he's like, oh man, it's so pathetic, but my mom actually had to pawn her engagement ring so that I could pay yes. the loan shark, and that's where I was. Right. I was down in Jersey. That was it.
Yeah.
And so he does have an alibi. So mean. He's like, okay, well, I need your mom's contact information. And yeah, that is pathetic.
You're pathetic. Like, oh. It's like, okay.
This poor guy.
Be like, here's a number to call for Gamblers Anonymous. And
yeah, seriously.
Find the help you need. Bye, Jim.
Exactly. Instead of being like, oh, you're so pathetic that you had to get your
also,
mom to call
engagement ring. Also, yeah, he's a fucking gambler. He should know yes. better.
Jesus. You know what it is? He projects. I think a lot, exactly. he does. There's a lot of projection in a lot of this
Booth
episode
is a projector.
Generally.
He's
yeah.
a projector, and he sees himself in Jim and it grosses him out.
I guess so. Okay. We're back with Cam, Sweets, and Hodgins in Angela's office.
Yeah.
Oh my God. And I can't believe that Angela and Hodgins are still in the same room. Like, they yep. just had this awkward breakup, but no yep. indication of it, as we mentioned. No. So they've discovered Angela has broken open this case. She's discovered that this photo was in fact a picture of two people getting it on. And yes. most importantly, the woman has a tramp stamp. So we're able to, sorry, a lower back tattoo.
Which Sweet
says,
less
formally known as a tramp stamp.
Cool.
Useful, I hope.
Yeah, Sweets so. Goes, cool for the tramp stamp. And he goes, I mean, useful, I hope. Like, he's yeah. like backtracking because inappropriate, Sweets.
So inappropriate. Oh my God. But what's more is they've discovered from this, from all these videos as well, that Angela had gone, that Sweets and Booth and it had gone through of the relevant ones. Angela went through and tried to enhance the sound in the background. And yeah. from one of the videos, she discovered that there was this audio where Bill was saying, I don't want to work to Arthur was saying, I don't want to work with Angela anymore. You got to get rid of her. Not Angela. What's her name? Veronica. With Angela is the lady who discovered this. Yes. I don't want to work with Veronica anymore. And we met her with Pete back in one of the first scenes. I don't want to work with Veronica anymore. You got to get rid of her. Like she's terrible. And Sweets is like, oh, this is our girl. Veronica, not Angela, is the person who killed Bill.
Right. So it seems like for this scene that Bill and Veronica were having an affair or something. They all kind of assume. So what happens next is Booth and Brennan go down to the TV studio to talk to Veronica. Bill's wife is at the studio again, picking up all of Bill's stuff and putting it in a banker's box. Yeah. Booth tells the wife to take a hike so they could talk to Veronica. And we learn in this conversation with Veronica that basically Veronica and Bill were very close friends. And he was actually mad at her because he felt that she'd stolen a show idea from him and sold it. And they were having this disagreement about the whole situation and that it wouldn't have lasted long. Like, they would have made up and become friends again. He would have gotten over it. You know, his bruised ego would have, you know, suffered a little bit, but then he would have gotten over it. She also proves that she doesn't have a tramp stamp by lifting up her shirt and showing everyone her lower back, which is crazy to me. But whatever.
Yeah, it seems. I wonder if you would need a warrant to get that information. Like for someone to lift their shirt up.
Sometimes I just wonder why people are so willing to just give everything away.
I guess it proves her innocence. So she's like, yeah, sure, here, just look at my back, whatever.
It just proves she's not in the picture that was shoved down Bill's throat.
Yeah, true.
So we're assuming I think we know at this point that the man in this photograph is Bill.
Yeah, we've confirmed
the
woman that is unknown.
Someone else other than his wife. With a lower back tattoo.
Lower back tattoo. And
yeah,
it would appear based on the next scene, that she also has an infected tongue piercing. Ugh. That sounds horrible. So they, sorry. Anyway, so, and they know exactly who it is. It's this girl, Holly. Mm-hmm. Because in one of the videos, she's sticking out her tongue and going, ah, mm. want to see my tongue piercing?
So she's the girl that they use on the show as bait for these yeah. men.
And she got baited.
So I just want to say this. Holly suffers from what is called oral thrush, which is not a big deal. A lot of people have it. It's yeah. basically like yeast. Oral yeast.
Yeah.
And people get it. Like, it's just like a bacterial kind of thing. My friend had it for a long time. She couldn't get rid of it. She'd take antibiotics and then it would just come back all the time. And it's then common she found with babies out, too. Well, they found out. She found out it was from eating dairy.
Oh.
So she stopped eating dairy. Her thrush went away. And she also, her skin, she used to have a lot of acne. Her acne went away after huh. she stopped eating dairy products.
I wonder if she had a dairy allergy or something.
Yeah, it's like the thrush is just candida. It's like yeast. It's
yeah.
whatever. But yeah, I think it just reacted in her body and she got thrush all the time.
Oh my gosh.
Pretty wild, well, eh?
That is wild. It's good she found a solution.
Hmm.
Although no cheese is heard.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
No cheese, just... no ice cream.
No.
Okay. So they get Holly into the FBI interrogation room and they start to interrogate her intensely. And mm-hmm. she says, what are you talking about? I would never kill him. I would never mm-hmm. kill the man I love. I loved him. He was wonderful. And yeah, so yeah, she has a tongue piercing. Yeah, she has a lower back tattoo. This mm-hmm. is slam dunk. This is the woman that Bill was sleeping with. Mm-hmm. So we find out in this scene that her and Pete had a thing going on.
The cameraman.
She got the job, the cameraman. So the person we met mm-hmm. with, Veronica.
Mm-hmm.
She got the job because of Pete. And they were in a long-term relationship initially. But then it wasn't working out. And then they ended up, I think they're still living together now. It's a very weird situation.
I don't know what the situation is, regardless. They yeah. show her the photograph of Bill and her, and she's sort of taken aback by yeah. the picture. Not before Brennan insists that she take out her tongue piercing for yeah. further examination to determine that she is actually the person who has the oral thrush, etc. My yeah. question is, how hard is it to take out a tongue piercing like
I
that?
Would think it would be pretty difficult.
It would take
difficult.
A little bit more effort than it did.
She's just like the.
She kind of went like this and it was out.
And it was so, out.
I don't know. I don't have that. I have my nose thing.
Yeah.
It's different. Just seems like a little bit more slippery.
Well, you would think it there. Would take more effort because otherwise you'd be choking on a tongue piercing. You definitely don't want that to slip out.
I also want to, I'm hoping that this lower back tattoo is fake for the actress's sake. That's all.
Yeah, it's bad. It's not good. Also, yeah. probably was so painful to get done, if that is a real tattoo.
You mean you don't have one, Brittany?
No,
yeah,
I do not.
I missed the boat on that one. I was glad to miss that trend.
Yes, same.
I still might get one. You know what? I want one. Here on my hip, like right here.
That'd be cool.
And then I want one, like I want like a shoulder.
Like a sleeve kind of thing?
Well, like a shoulder arm situation. I think it'd be cool.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Maybe when I'm 60.
All right. I like it.
Go on. What's next?
Okay, let's see where we're at now. So Angela's like, you are busted, Billy. So they're back in her office.
Right.
And so they're trying to figure out how Holly possibly could have killed this guy. Because yeah. right now it seems like a slam dunk, even though she's insisting that she didn't do it. But she's saying that she loved him. She would never kill him, blah, blah, blah. They get Angela, they get Brennan, they get Sweets in there, Daisy's there, Cam's there, and they suggest that Daisy must be about the same size as Holly, and Sweets is about the same size as Bill O'Rourke. So, you know what, Daisy, you should go see if you can upend this 180-year-old Sweets. And she, with
pound,
like
yeah,
sheer determination, is like, I will do it. I'm coming for you.
Like, honestly, Daisy would be a great cult member candidate because she's just fully like whatever Brennan says she'll do. I love how when Daisy walks in, she's like, "Hi, Dr. Brennan." Like, she's so happy to see her. And Brennan's like, "I don't fraternize at work. Like, don't talk to me. We're not friends. Like, don't get it twisted," kind of attitude. So
she's
rude.
Being such a bitch, like on another level.
Normally,
I've
people
never
like,
seen
"Oh,
her
hi.
Like this.
Hi, Daisy." I've never seen her so rude like that.
No.
It's crazy. Yeah.
You would think, yeah, exactly. Even if you don't want to fraternize or like you don't want to be like super friendly, at the very least, you could be like, "Hi. Hello."
Can I just say the hilarious part of this, the most hilarious part is when Daisy blindly wants to do what Brennan says, like go try to lift Sweets up off the ground and put him upside down.
Yeah.
Sweets is like, "No, no, 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 we don't have to do that. No, no." And she charges over to him.
Yeah.
And my favorite part is that he straight arms her head. Like, he holds her head like with his arms straight, like, "No, no, we're not doing this. No." And I was like, "All right, fine." Like, she wanted to do it. And I just love how he holds his arm out and holds her head. Like,
but this,
it's so funny.
This is our first indication of this like interaction between, or this is our first interaction we've seen between Sweets and Daisy. And I find it very sweet because the scene goes on and they're talking about, we find out that she minored in psychology. And so she makes some comments, and then Sweets explains why the killer would have to be someone with a certain personality. And Daisy is like, "That is so brilliant." And Sweets is like,
"So chuffed.
Me?
I'm
chuffed."
Really? He's like, "What?
Hi, Daisy."
"Aw, thanks.
Thanks.
Shucks. So nice."
And Brennan is like, "I know who did it." Like, no shit. It's the only person that we haven't suspected this whole time.
Exactly. So the next scene we have, Booth and Brennan are rushing off to go find this person when Mock, he shows up in the lab carrying like soft drinks and a bag of food. And she's like, "What the hell are you doing here, man?" And I have the same question. How the fuck did
How'd
that
he get
guy
in?
Get in the goddamn building, walk all the way? "Oh, she's over there, blah, blah, blah." So he goes over to randomly in her office, to her office. And like, no one called her to say, "Hey, Brennan, someone's here to see you." Like, does she not have any assistant to help her with this shit? Anyway, he shows up with
not.
This food. She's completely forgotten. Completely forgotten that she's supposed to have dinner with this guy. Right then, our friend Jason, the botanist.
The botanist.
Shows up wearing a suit, ready to go to a concert, a Coldplay concert. Who let these people in? I want to know. They should be fired. These people should be fired. They didn't have the
they just
courtesy
want to fuck with
to
Brennan.
Tell her. Have one someone chase her up to tell her that these two yahoos were in the lab to see her. Like, I can't imagine they walk by the platform, the fucking platform. They had to walk by this platform where there's like evidence of like murder victims and shit. Like, they're just exposed. No problem. This goopy skeleton's just lying there. Anyway, Mark and Jason meet. And it's like the clash, this horrible clash. And Brennan is absolutely like, "Oh my God." She's up in arms about this. She's like, "Shit, I didn't mean for this to happen," like for Mark and Jason to meet. And she has to try to explain to like, basically like, "Jason, I really like you, but I don't want to have sex with you. And Mark, you're really dumb and I just want to fuck you." Like, she's basically, this is how she's translating everything. So then she says, "I have to go. I'm trying to solve a murder. I'll meet you at the concert. And then after the concert, I'm going to go home with you. Okay, Mark?" Like, and she leaves. I think that you're muted, darling. I missed it. Yes.
There we go. Booth is like, Oh, God. Bye, guys. And then just takes one of the drinks that Mark has.
This is where I sent you the video of Booth's face. Because his face is so, like, as much like as I, childish. I'll be honest with you, I think I'm giving away, like, my thoughts on this. But Booth has been awful this whole time. He's been terrible, slut shaming her, trying to like force religion and monogamy and all these things on her, and like try to argue his way through things. But his face in this moment was so
funny.
It's like he was like, ooh, it's like eating popcorn, right? It's like, I'm getting the popcorn ready. Like,
oh yeah,
to see what happens next. He's like really hilariously like in the middle of it. It's so funny.
It's totally an I told you so moment, because he's like, you can't handle, like, you can't manage these two guys at once.
We'll talk about that. Sure enough, talk about that in a second.
You could not. Go on. And poor Jason, she says to him, like you said, she says to him, like, you're more stimulating intellectually. And he's like, that's not the only way I could be stimulating.
He's so like, damn it.
He thought he was playing the long game. Meanwhile, she's getting she's getting all of her fill.
Oh my god. And then Booth, I love the way, he takes the drink. He's like, takes one of the soft drinks. Thanks, Mark. Bye.
Thanks, Mark. Bye. See you never. Okay. So we're back at the FBI, and we have inevitably brought in Pete, the only person that has not been suspected until now. Surprise, surprise, the camera guy.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So, yeah, at first he tries to deny it, and then he goes, you know what? I just lost it. Yeah. I can't do it. I found out that they were sleeping together and fooling around, and yeah, just, I can't. Sorry. So basically what he did was, that morning that he said he went to his condo or his apartment and he didn't open the door, that Bill didn't open the door. He did open the door. He brought him a coffee, but he had put eye drops in it. And I guess that gave him the runs, and then that gave him an opportunity to kill him. A little convoluted, but
he cops to it. He's Pete's the guy. Pete's the culprit. It doesn't matter. We move to the next scene. We have Booth and Brennan meeting in Sweet's office. Why is this happening? I have no idea. This is the middle of the day.
They're all best friends.
The evening. Regardless,
that Sweets evening,
Sweets and Booth are both giving Brennan a hard time about her whole two guy situation, and she's all dressed up because she was supposed to go on a date with one of them. Mark, I think she was going to go on a date because she thought, "Oh, I'd give him a shot. I'll give him a shot in an intellectual situation." And then he broke up with her. And then we find out that Jason also broke up with her because they couldn't believe she was dating both of them at the same time. Hello, 2024 is calling. Things are a little bit different now. People date all kinds of people. I'm sure.
Yeah, like, but that's offensive, earlier, the way that she was going about it. I feel like people date other people, so it's like eventually they'll choose one. But this was like, no, you would both also be my.
Yeah, well, also, what was I going to say? Eventually, Sweet starts reading the room. Like, he starts to go, oh, okay, maybe we shouldn't give her such a hard time because they both broke up with her. And she says, you know, I know stuff like this happens all the time, but it still hurts. Like, it still stings, like, to be broke, to be rejected. It's not fun. And then he calls Jason gay again. Brent Booth calls Jason gay again, which is terrible. Anyway, the next thing that happens is what I think is, it's absolutely insane. So both Booth and Sweet stop giving her the gears, and Booth stops all this teasing, and he turns to her and he looks her straight in the eye. He's very close to her and he's talking to her very intensely and intimately, because he says to Brennan that there's someone for everyone, and there's someone out there for you that you're going to spend the rest of your life with. You just have to be open to see it. And then
you just have to be open enough to see it.
Yeah.
Is this?
This not, is crazy.
Is this not him being like, I'm here.
I don't know.
Open your eyes.
I don't know. I think that he's just, I have a couple things to say, because at this. Okay. So let's wrap it up. Booth wants to make Brendan feel better, so he says, I'm going to take her out for dinner. Let me take you out for something to eat. Because this is during Sweets is like, he's saying that Booth and Brendan have a surrogate relationship. So in between relationships, they're sort of lean on each other and they're there for each other on an intimate sort of emotional level. And then they go off and have these other relationships and then they come together. So, and yeah, it's called work husband and work wife. That's exactly what this is called. And it, I have a gym husband. I've talked about my gym husband many, many times. And it's an understanding. Greg has met my gym husband. They're very well aware. He calls me. He goes, hello, wife. And I go, hello, husband. And it's just the way it is. I had a work husband at all my offices that I worked in because we just had good rapport, good relationship. We had fun. We laughed. And, you know, we'd go to lunch together. Like you have these relationships. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, you spend there's a ton nothing, of time at work or doing your hobbies so or whatever.
Time. So much time. Anyway, Booth says, I'm going to take you out for dinner. I'll make you feel better. And Sweets is like, look what you're doing. You're being her surrogate husband or whatever. And then Sweets tries to angle in, try to push his way in on this dinner. It's so funny how he tries to get to have dinner with them. And they're like, no. Like, you're not included in our little... our little surrogate relationship here. We have a hard time making bonds outside of this relationship. Like, they're agreeing with him and what he said about them. Like, they're throwing it in his face. Like, you told us we can't have bonds with other people, so you're not included in our dinner. So bye-bye.
It's so sad.
It's so funny. Also, who would want to go to dinner with those two? It's insufferable. Like, as much as we love to watch them, sitting with them would be awful.
It would be like being a third wheel on a date.
Because you're sitting there listening to them fucking bicker for an hour. I'm like, this is not fun. Like, can we not talk about something else, please? Anyway, what does Sweets do?
Sweets ends up deciding that this is a good opportunity for him to give Daisy a call. And we find out that Daisy was let go and is no longer working for the Jeffersonian. But he would love to chat with her. And he says to reach out to her. And to give him a call back. So
this, I love that we find out that Daisy got fired in this way.
Yeah.
And that's the end of the show. And I'm just going to mention here, I'm going to tell you what I thought of this show, this episode.
Okay.
And then you're going to tell me, but I think we both enjoyed it. I'm going to deduce that A, B.
Yeah.
I really like the choices the director made in so many of these scenes. There's a scene where we cut back to the FBI and we learn through exposition that Arthur, the producer of the show or whatever, the creator, we learn about everyone's alibi. We have, oh, he had an alibi, blah, blah, blah. Francis, the cop, had an alibi, blah, blah, blah. We have Noel Lifton giving us the exposition about Jim Dodd going to this divorcee kind of support group. I like how we didn't have to see all that. Like, it was just sort of assumes, like, we don't have to go through all the scenes. They just tell us, okay, this is what happened, so we can move forward with the story.
Yeah.
I know that's more of a tell, don't show instead of show, don't tell situation, but I liked how efficient it was in that way.
Yeah.
And the show within a show, that whole thing where they had to film the show, and then they had to also film the Bill O'Rourke show.
Yeah.
And then they had to show that show. And I just think it's so funny. It's like you have like two productions going on at the same time. Scoot McNeary, I love him so much. So good, so good, so good. So what did you think?
I liked it. I thought it was pretty funny. I thought it was weird that Hodgins and Angela didn't seem to interact in any way. Like, they weren't lovey-dovey like they would normally be when they were together, but they also weren't, like, rude to each other or bickering or anything like that.
I am looking forward to that time, though, when we get to a place where they're actually reacting to the breakup, because you're saying that this episode was meant for another season and the next episode was next for the previous season as well. So, it's interesting.
Well, the next episode, we do get a little bit of it, but anyway, we'll talk about it. We'll talk about it later.
More importantly, who is your king of the lab?
Daisy.
Of course, of course, of course.
Daisy's my king of the lab. She was, it was her first day. She approached it with such positivity. She actually provided quite a bit of, she actually did provide quite a bit of insight into the case. She found quite a bit of evidence, which was good.
Which would have been found by anybody.
And all with a positive attitude, Kelly. Who's your king of the lab?
I'll just say that I don't like Daisy as much as you do. And I'm hoping, like you say, there's some kind of redeeming situation. I hope she simmers down a little bit. Okay. I had a hard time picking a king, I'll be honest.
Okay.
It was a toss-up. Because Cam was quite funny in this episode. Yeah. Like, she made me laugh because she was so patient with Daisy. And she just, the way she, her face, whenever she has to deal with these people, it just makes me laugh. Like, whenever she has to go, like, take a step, like, take a beat before she reacts, because they're so crazy. Like, she's just like, okay. Like, she's just very over it. I love it.
Yeah.
But I'll have to say Scoot. Scoot's going to be mine because I just love this character. Noel Lifton is funny as hell. He's so random. He's completely out of left field. But again, great expositionist. We learned all about Jim Dodd. Like I said, he made me laugh. I love seeing Scoot anytime. So I'm all about the Scoot.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
Scoot, Scoot.
Scoot, Scoot. All right. Who's your lab, Brad?
Who's your lab? Oh, do you want me to go first?
Yes.
This is controversial, Kelly.
Ooh, why?
Because it's Brennan.
Oh! Oh! Because
I thought she was a little too much in this episode. She was rude to Daisy. She was completely inconsiderate to Mark and to Jason.
Wow.
And wow. I just thought she did not deserve anything but lab rat. I did not like her attitude.
I disagree with you 1000%. I don't think Brennan owes those guys anything. And I'm sure she made it clear that they weren't exclusive. Like,
what about single, Daisy?
Single and ready to mingle. Well, whatever. Daisy's a bit much. She's coming off like an abrasive, brown-nosing tryhard. I wouldn't want that person around me either.
Okay, who's your lab rat?
My rat's Booth. Booth for slut shaming Brennan, for trying to shove religion down her throat, trying to tell her that monogamy is like the only way to go. When he's plowing his way through Washington like there's no tomorrow, you think that he's not out there?
He admitted He admitted it in this episode. He says
he doesn't even need plenty of fish at this point. He just needs to walk down the fucking street, go to the coffee shop. He could pick up 5 women in 2 seconds. No problem. This guy is plowing. I'm going to ask David Boreanaz when he comes on this fucking show. Why so religious, Booth? What's with the monogamy? What's with all this when he's plowing his way through Washington?
When you're using that cocky belt buckle.
Also, just as an aside, Daisy has a boyfriend. And Sweets is like asking her out on a date probably at this
point. He doesn't know that she has a boyfriend at this point, I don't think.
I'm going to assume that Daisy comes back. But anyway, obviously, fuck. I mean, they have a podcast together, for God's sake. Anyway, okay. How do we feel?
That actress is amazing. I think we did good.
Okay. She's done lots of stuff, that actress. She's been in tons
of
stuff. Anyway. So yeah, this is great. I'm really happy with the way this is going. Season 4, I'm just going to say, I'm not worried about it, but it is like, okay, they obviously have more money. There's more stuff going on, more explosions, more stunty kind of guest stars. I get it. I'm not worried about it getting a little bit too big for its britches, but I'm interested to see where this goes, because it's very slick. It's looking slick. It's feeling slick. And I do resist that sometimes. Like, I like things to be a little bit janky, a little bit like,
yeah,
Not necessarily just gritty. I don't expect gritty. I mean, it's prime time. Like, I understand what I'm watching. Like, I get it. But at the same time, it's very slick. There's something smooth and slick about it that I'm like, okay, guys, I hope you don't go too far on the slick side, you know?
I just love that they have all these new interns. Sorry, just give me
Yes.
1 second. I'm back.
You tell him you're going to call him back because you're going to finish up, right?
Yeah, I said I would call him
Okay.
back. So, but I don't know if he heard me. It just kind of ended. Anyway, so
He's like, fuck you, Brittany. Oh, I can't do it. I can't be a single parent for 3 hours.
Oh God. That would be a problem. He's probably having the time of his life. Here I am being like,
He's
is everything
fine.
okay? Is he drinking enough
He's
water? Is
fine.
he having enough snacks?
Brittany, Brittany. Luke and Allie
I'm letting
managed to
go.
live. Luke and Allie are still alive. Like Greg threw them in all kinds of dangerous situations. I don't think Mark is doing anything.
No, Mark is great. Okay, sorry. Let's finish up this episode as I
Okay.
get completely distracted.
We loved it and I can't wait for the next one. I'm looking forward to seeing like all the money being thrown at this thing because obviously it's becoming this show that everyone's watching. It's very popular,
Yeah.
obviously, if it's being renewed for this many seasons. And I'm ex interested in how this relationship between like Booth and Brennan, I don't know, man. It's interesting. It's going to be interesting.
I'm really excited for this season. I forgot kind of where things went, and I think I'm remembering a little bit. Particularly with this episode, there were some things that happened that I was like, oh yeah. And I really, really, really love that they have all these different interns. And I'm sad, obviously, it's sad that Daisy got fired, but I think
It's kind of funny.
it's
It's funny
nice.
because you have
Yeah.
Clark who was there for technically one episode. Then we have Daisy for one. And then, I
Yeah.
like this sort of rotating revolving door. I think it's, I told you, I thought it would be really funny if they had a new intern every episode. I think it would be
They
really
are.
funny. Oh,
They literally
yeah?
are. Yeah.
Oh, that's, I think it's funny. I think it's a really good bit.
The next episode, the intern, it's very interesting.
I
His
love him.
character is
Yeah,
interesting. I
look,
loved
okay,
him.
we're not going to spoil it because we're going to talk about it soon, but I
Yeah.
love the next intern. I love this bit that they have these people. I just think it's great. I think it's really funny. And I
I
hope
love
it
it.
keeps being funny. I like it being kind of funny a little bit,
Yeah, same.
All
Okay.
right. On that note, I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode. I just want to say, check out Instagram. I'm going to go back on there and do some stuff. And then we're going to throw some videos on YouTube of the show so you can see our faces and you can see the lovely mess behind me. And yeah, follow us, follow us, follow us. Subscribe to the podcast. It does help, apparently. Leave a review. Like whether you're whatever podcast app you're using, please leave a review. So on that note, we're going to say goodbye and thank you very much for listening to this episode of Squincast.
Squidcast.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. Thank you for listening to Squintcast with me, Kelly Booth, and my and your new friend, Brittany Elsner. The Bones theme is performed by The Crystal Method. They can be found on Instagram and YouTube at The Crystal Method and at thecrystalmethod.com. Intro and outro music is by Twisterium at Pixabay. Cover art was done by Irena Dolence Stajan. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at Squintcast. Email us at squintcastpodcast@gmail.com. You can find me at fab_empire_ on Instagram and TikTok. Brittany is at Brittany81523 on Instagram. See you next time.
Hodgins!